Man, that's fire. That's super dope, man. Yeah, it's like, you know, to be able to see your music in outlets like that, like, you know, that just, that's, it's kind of like almost like confirmation. It's like, all right, you know, what I'm doing is not in vain. Like, I'm seeing the returns and the fruits of my labor. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got a saying, this persistence wears down resistance. So it's like just continually, like, just always striving. You know what I'm saying? So that's dope, man. That's dope. You know, Now, I want to pivot because you just mentioned something. You said that you were out in L.A., the NAMM Festival and all that, man. You know, could you talk about that, like, that experience, man, and how was that? You know, it seemed like it was, like, really powerful, you know, what you was able to accomplish with that, you know?
I went to NAMM. I went as an attendee last year, and I was watching all these people speak about, you know, music and audio engineering and, you know, what people talk about on stages like that. And I was just thinking to myself, like, I could be up there speaking, you know, about whatever, really. So I pitched to them a couple ideas and they went with, I pitched to them a sync licensing panel. I didn't tell them this, but I wanted to bring some panelists and the panelists that I had in mind were all African-American. So they accepted the panel. Then I reached out to the panelists, XJ Will, Jared Alua, Excalibur Zero, Clint Music, Nelson K. Johnson, Jay Nolan, and Daraj. So this is like, you know, Mount Rushmore of like sync licensing. You know, two Mount Rushmores is like seven people, but two Mount Rushmores of, you know, sync licensing and African-American males. And they all accepted and they all showed up. And visually, what that stage represented, we had about 800 or so registered. They only got about maybe close to 200 were able to get in the room, maybe a little less. But what it represented was really important, and just having that moment for not just for NAMM, but for music and for sync licensing in general, and being able to put that together and in that type of fashion, and to just have that being the one to put that together, just and then getting some of the feedback from it, and hopefully we can do some things with that next year. But even just having that moment was incredible. So yeah, so LA was definitely vibe, and with the NAMM and the Disney, and then making connections, of course. So it's just still I'm still on a high for that of that.
Yeah, no, as you should, man, as you should, King, because that's phenomenal, you know. And I always tell people all the time, representation matters, you know. Sync is an amazing space, but there's still room for improvement when we talk about diversity and ownership, you know. Like, you know, a lot of these spaces, we don't see faces of color. Or, you know, if we look at like the board of directors, we don't see faces of color. Like, you know, it's kind of like, sometimes I liken it to the NBA. It's like, you know, you see all the owners are white and the players are black, you know. It's like just calling a spade. So being able to transition to a place of equity and representation, that matters, you know. And you know, that's pretty dope what you did, so big ups to you for that, man. That was fire, you know what I mean? Yeah, definitely, without a doubt, man, definitely. So I got this question, it's called like the Back to the Future question. If you could go back in time, turn back the hands of time, you see your younger self just chilling on the park bench, what's some free game that you would give to your younger self that you wish you would have known back then in terms of anything? You know, it could be in regards to music licensing, life in general. Like, what's some gems that you would drop on your younger self?
Definitely, I would, since I'm like in this sync mindset right now, I would tell my younger self to get into sync licensing a lot sooner. I was sort of in it, but like really dive in, because some of those guys that I mentioned that were on that stage, they've been doing this for, you know, 5-10 years. So yeah, if I go back to my younger self, I would probably say, like, get into sync licensing like right now, figure it out, because it's only going to get better moving forward. There's only going to be more opportunities and more outlets for music to place on television and film and, you know, streaming platforms. So that, yeah, that would be like the sort of the top, you know, get into that sync.
Yeah, without a doubt, man. That's a major key. And, you know, it's like for artists now, I think this is like the prime time to really get in. Like, you know, like I've been doing this since like 2007. And, you know, I was blessed how it happened to me because I had record deals. I was writing, working with a lot of artists up in major labels. And this was just presented to me like the agent. One of my agents who I have until this day, actually, she presented me with the opportunity and let me know about it. And yeah, just to hear my music in TV, film, getting paid, you know, and getting compensated fairly, you know, because I think that's the game changer for artists. It's about, you know, it's not what it appears to be, but it's what it really is. Like, if, you know, I see like everybody doing the Spotify raps and that's cool, but, you know, if you're not really being compensated adequately for your streams, like, you know, you need to be able to say, all right, I got this. And as a result of this, this was my compensation. You know, it takes so many streams, so many YouTube plays just to try to get, you know, a fraction of a penny for your music. So yeah, with licensing, that changes it up, man. You know, it's definitely a game changer, you know, and it's helping people financially change the trajectory for their families too, you know.
Yeah, you definitely, one placement can, like, you know, a big placement can change your whole life. And, you know, you get one a year, you're good to go.
Yeah, definitely. One thing I wanted to ask you too, in terms of, like, we know that there's different types of contractual agreements with sync licensing companies. As far as like exclusive as opposed to non-exclusive, like, what's your take on that? Like, there's some musicians I know who they prefer to do non-exclusive because they can have that same music in multiple libraries. There's other people who feel that, well, they just want to do exclusive because it tends to pay more. So how do you take that approach with your music? Like, you know, do you prefer to do one over the other? Do you kind of do like a mixed bag of both?
Mostly exclusive, because it is more valuable, not only to the company you're working with, but it's also more valuable to whoever they pitch to say, like, you're not going to hear this anywhere else. You could be the one to break this. This is only, you know, for whatever, if it places on this, you know, this is all yours for this, you know, whatever period of time is an agreement. But and then one thing to delineate there is exclusivity for the music you make. So not exclusivity for you as a person or as a music creator, and that's a distinction. Just make sure when you're looking at these paperwork and agreements that they're not trying to sign you, and like you can only work with one library forever, or, you know, till the end of time, you know, perpetuity, be on the lookout for that word. But your music can be represented, you know, by one company exclusively, but you can, as long as you are free to work with others, because one company doesn't get all the business. And also, like, if I'm doing sync and trailers, there's other trailer companies. There's some people in sync licensing that don't do trailers. There's trailer companies that don't do sync. They're two totally different beasts. And then there's some, if you're like a prolific creator, you might want to sign with one library that focuses on like hip hop, but then another library that just does piano stuff or whatever. So just make sure. But I mostly do exclusivity for the music that I create for that library.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I agree with that. Like, you know, I have some songs that are non-exclusive, and then I have others that are exclusive to multiple outlets. And, you know, especially my agent, like, they have like a bunch of exclusive records. I find that those tend to pay more because the person that is utilizing that, they realize that it's not spread thin. So this isn't something that's, you know, common. Like, you know, when you look at like a diamond, it retains its value because, you know, everybody doesn't have it, right? Like, you know, a Bentley is valuable, you know, as opposed to a Kia, right? So it's just certain distinctions. And, you know, I always encourage artists to approach themselves as a business, because you are a business. You're in the business of your music. You're in the business of representing yourself. And you always want to be smart and think outside the box of, you know, how you can actually monetize to the best of your abilities. So yeah, definitely having exclusive content is a big, big help for artists, you know? So, you know, another thing that I wanted to ask you, man, as a musician, you know, cause you produce and all that, who are your top five Dead or Alive music producers?
This answer is going to be, interesting, because I'm inspired by a lot of different genres. So, and this could be a different answer tomorrow, or, you know, 10 minutes from now. But right now, of course, Timbaland, Pharrell, they'll always make the list. Danger, who basically Timbaland's protege, but has his own sound. I'm debating where to go direction wise. I like Bink and Just Blaze. I can keep going, man. Just Blaze, Justice League, with the cinematic stuff, especially with that they were doing with Rick Ross. But then I have a whole another list of composers, which would be like Hans Zimmer, Ludwig Göransson, Michael Abels, who's African American, Terrence Blanchard, who's African American, Pinar Toprak. On the soundtrack and score films, Brian Tyler, who I was able to like link up with, crazy in California. He just scored Super Mario Brothers. It's insane. So like having like those separate entities and being able to navigate between the worlds of, you know, hip hop, R&B, and like soundtrack, film score, movie trailers, and seeing like where is the lane for me. Like you mentioned, there's always room for greatness. Even working on the Disneyland project, like in the back of my mind, I'm just like, you know, they could be working with Hans Zimmer or John Williams or any of those, you know, billion-dollar composers. Almost like the imposter syndrome, like why am I here? Of course, they got a huge discount for not working with them, but there's room, you know, for me to sort of open those doors to Disney, to work with Disney on music and the music aspect of things. There's room to have, you know, 8 African Americans on one stage talking about sync licensing in different lanes. There's room for greatness, and there's so much opportunity with all these platforms, you know, sync, streaming, TV, commercials, ads, social media, whatever's going to happen with AI and that whole space. There's room for greatness, and there's room for us to be great.
Definitely, man. Definitely. The word of the day. you know what? That, and you brought up a good point. You know, artificial intelligence is like a big thing right now. People are losing their minds. You know, you got records where Kendrick Lamar's voice is rapping Drake songs, and you've got you know, Jay-Z sounding artificial intelligence. Like, what's your take on that? Like, as a music producer yourself, that's, you know, you're ingrained in the music culture, what is your take on AI? Do you think it is something that possibly could be problematic in terms of the authenticity of the music that's being created, or do you think that it's something that artists can leverage in their favor? Like, what's your take on that?
Both. Like, they have, I think it's inevitable, and artists will have to leverage it to sort of succeed. If they're already established, you know, they're pretty good. You know, Beyonce shouldn't be afraid of AI. But you know, that Drake and Weeknd song that dropped, full, you know, it didn't full, but it got what, 15 million, 20 million spins or views or plays within a couple of days or one day. So there is something there that someone, either, you know, record labels, I'm sure lawyers will figure stuff out, that someone's gonna have to figure out. But there's a, you know, a side where it's like, hey, if you are a YouTube personality or whatever, and you have to get your videos out, but you're sick 1 week or you want to go on vacation, you can use AI to clone your voice, and you can type in the text you want to say. And so there's ways where you can leverage it. People have, you know, started creating games and stuff with it, creating movie scripts, and I use it at a very base level for like artwork. I just posted something today that I got the artwork using the Canva AI, that animated it, for, it was a song that I trailerized, I mostly use it for like copyright the text for like Instagram caption or social media and things like that. But I'm learning about it every day. I'm spending way too much time watching videos about all these different AI technologies, and it's getting crazy. I think it's inevitable, and we're gonna have to figure out how to coexist with it to sort of make it through.
I agree with you, and I think, like, you know, that's a constant part of growth. Like they say, if you're not growing, you're dying. And you know, not to be oblivious of things and to look at the technology and not be afraid of it. You know, that's kind of what happened with the cable company traditionally. you know, and Blockbuster as well. You know, when all these services were developing, you know, Netflix and all these things, and they kind of just scoffed at them. And it's like, get out of here. You know, that's crazy. And now look, you know, Blockbuster's gone. And, you know, you've got Netflix and all these other streaming platforms. So I think to embrace the technology and leverage it in your favor, you know, I think, like, that's a good thing to do. Like, you know, and ultimately the cream always rises to the top. So, you know, you can have AI-generated beats, AI-generated musicians. I'm aware that there was even, like, an AI artist where it was, like, you know, he wilded out, though. He did some racial, I think he used the N-word or something, and then he got out of here. Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy. It's bonkers. Yeah, it was bonkers. Bonkers. So he jumped out the window on that. But, you know, it's like the technology, like, just to be aware of it, like you said, you know, and use it in your favor to the best of your ability, because it's not going anywhere. So it's either, you know, you adapt and overcome. That's what they always say in the military. It's like adapt and overcome. Like you see an obstacle, you see a challenge, face it head on. Don't run from it, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think we got it. We got to learn how to use it and survive with it.
That's it. That's it, man. That's it, man. So you know, just on in terms of like what's next for the Fingers, man. What you got going on, brother? What's cooking? That the people should be looking on the lookout for, man.
I make sample packs, and I haven't made one in a while. So I got some deals from NAMM. So I gotta crank out a few packs there, and then I got a lot of music that I need to trailerize, which is taking like a song that's out. I just posted one today at the time of this recording by Pia Mia called 730, and trailerized that or made it like cinematic, things like that. So that's basically taking an artist song, and I usually remove the music and then add in you know, like strings and orchestral stuff and like the cinematic percussion and all of that. Doing more of that. And yeah, Sync Licensing, of course, got projects. My wife always asks, like, are you, you know, you got work to do? And it's like, I always got work lined up. So I always have something to do.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I always have music to make and things to work on. So there's always like a project lined up. So I'm never like, you know, I'm not always working, but I always have work to do or to work on. So I'm never like, if I don't, I create a project for myself. I put out albums for artists, I put out concept albums. I have my producer name is Da Fingers, so I have like Da Fingers beats for Drake, Da Fingers beats for Usher, Da Fingers beats for Hitmaker, Da Fingers beats for Rick Ross, Da Fingers beats for Hey Rocky, Da Fingers beats for Russ, Da Fingers beats for Jenna Andrews. So I have like a whole series of albums that are on streaming, instrumental album, concept albums for artists. So I might just sit down one day and be like, hey, I want to make an album for, you know, Chloe or, you know, Beyonce, and you know, just sit down and tap into some instrumental vibes that I think they would, you know, or they might like one day. So yeah.
That's fire, man. And for all the producers out there that's, you know, maybe they haven't gotten their first sync yet. They don't know where to start. They're looking, you know, they're trying to gain traction. What's some gems that you would give to any producer out there trying to get music licensing? They don't know where to start. Like, what's some knowledge you could drop on them?
I know a lot of young producers, like, they don't like Facebook, but I started a group literally this week called Syncrets to Success, which was also the name of the panel at NAMM. SYNCRETS, TO, and then Success, Syncrets to Success, on Facebook. And there's a lot of people joining. I think we got it, 400, 300 within a couple of days. And already people are posting, like, hey, I work, you know, for this library, send me some stuff. There's a lot of sync opportunities on Facebook and LinkedIn. There's a lot of, you know, communities and things you can join there where people are posting what's called briefs, which are people looking for music for a certain scene in the show or movie. Definitely get on those platforms. Once you're in some of those groups, people share when they got placements. So they might say, hey, I just landed this placement on the show. Shout out to whatever the company is that helped land it. And then that's where you can do the research that we talked about earlier and do the research. And you can look up the company and see what they you know, are about, what placements they have. And a lot of them on their website, they just have a form or a link where you can submit, you know, music for audition, or maybe you got an email or whatever. So a lot of them, they have like a open submission policy. You just got to do the research to get to that point.
Yeah, that's fire. That's fire. You know, I always say, man, you know, collaboration is greater than competition. Like building with like-minded people and just being open to that, you know, not being closed off, like just networking, building up your, you know, just your group of people that are like-minded. You know, it's always good to build with people. So yeah, man, that's phenomenal, man. It's a lot of gems in that, especially for the people on the come up. You know what I mean? Yeah, definitely, man. Definitely. So let the people know, man, how can they get in contact with you if they want to link with you, they want to build with you? Like, what's your social media, website, all that good stuff, man?
DaFingaz everywhere, DaFingaz. And then I don't know if it'll, you can't even see them behind me, it's all weird. But if I turn the chair, FINGAZ, there we go. DaFingaz.com is their website. So pretty simple. Just keep it the same everywhere. Which is another thing for Brandon. Branding, like your name and your company. You don't want to be like the logic guru on one platform, but then, you know, logic master on another one. You gotta try to lock a name that you can be consistent on all the platforms. DaFingaz everywhere. Yeah,
that's a fact. Like consistency with branding, like that's important. You know what I'm saying? So that's definitely solid, man. Definitely solid, man. Well, you know, we appreciate you, King, and you know, all that you do in terms of licensing, man, and just blazing, being a trailblazer. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you. Appreciate it. Appreciate the opportunity to be part of it. I've been watching, like studying Sync and then finding people that looked like me talking about Sync and just gravitating towards that. And I've been watching, so I'm so glad to be on the episode.
Absolutely, man. You know, I tell people all the time, man, like, you know, it's dope when you can see people that look like you. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, sometimes, you know, you don't want Boston Market. You want some soul food. You know what I'm saying? Like, you want some Jamaican, some jerk chicken. You know what I'm saying? That's it. That's it, man. You know the vibes, man. So, yo, y'all, shout out to the homie DaFingaz, man. Y'all know the vibes. Sync Music Mondays. Peace.